Welcome to Stories of Stories. I'm your host, Mike Chin. In each edition of this podcast, I explore the stories behind a specific creative project, process, or experience. I'll be talking about these projects on the show with the expectation that either you're already familiar with the project I'm talking about, or you don't plan to read it. In either case, the podcast is very likely to include spoilers. So please listen no further if you don't want anything spoiled. In this episode, I'm discussing Bucket. Bucket is a prose poem that I published with Gyroscope Review. For the story of this one, it really goes back to the hybrid forms class I took in my MFA program at Oregon State with Jennifer Richter. In that class, we read Maggie Nelson's Bluettes, which is a book that's posed as a series of propositions, in many ways built to kind of mirror a philosophical treatise. It also facilitates the collage structure of the book, where it's kind of fragmented in all these separate pieces, some of which explicitly go together, some of which do not, all kind of add up to one broader piece. I read this book for the first time about a year earlier than I encountered it in this class, and in first reading it, I was pretty convinced that it was poetry, and Maggie Nelson did have a background as a poet that made some sense. When I read it again in this class, I was convinced it was an essay, and I think in reality, it probably falls somewhere in between the two and is neither. That's something that I came to understand over the course of this hybrid forms class, and then just in reading more and thinking more about all of it in the aftermath, about kind of the ways in which the container for content and content itself kind of commingle and create something new that often is not so easily defined. They may have elements of fiction embedded in it, they may have sort of the structures or the truth of an essay, while at the same time having kind of the language and what might most recognizably be sort of the structure of a poem, and kind of ultimately just being whatever it actually is, as opposed to something we could more easily categorize it as. So, in follow-up to reading Bluettes in the class, Jen gave us a prompt, which was a series of propositions to fill in, anchored around color. And that resulted in a prose poem called Sea Level that I wrote that was published with On the Rusk in early 2016. I may talk about that in another podcast. But in any event, it wasn't until a few months after the class that I tried again with the list of propositions that Jen had given us with the color yellow. And was a lot less strict in my adherence to the prompt, and instead was kind of cherry-picking the pieces that I found most interesting or most useful to me, and customizing some of the other ones around what I wanted to say. And there's a way in which I think when I do that with a prompt, I always kind of feel a little guilty. I feel like I'm sort of cheating the prompt in some sense. But there's also something I've kind of come to embrace in terms of what prompts are really for, as starting points for us to generate our own material and then to make it our own. And usually, the finished piece of a poem, after it's been revised, even if it started with a prompt, usually veers pretty drastically away from the prompt by the time it's actually done. On account of kind of that revision and kind of making sure that the poem is actually saying what I intend for it to. So in this case, I was focusing on the color yellow, and I was thinking about my identity as a half-Chinese man. It's something I thought about a lot, particularly growing up. I think I that was when I most readily identified as Chinese. I think in a predominantly white small town community, I was most easily defined as Chinese. And even though I want to look at myself more as white, there's a lot packed in there in terms of what whiteness really means and how the mainstream media kind of colors our perception of that and sort of how we perceive ourselves or want to be perceived. But for me, I went through kind of an interesting transition when I went away to college, the first time away from my hometown for any sustained period of time. And for the first time, I wasn't readily recognized or identified as Chinese. I was looked at a little bit more ethnically ambiguous, I guess would be the way to say it. I had people who thought that I was Greek, people who asked if I was Italian, some people who thought maybe I had some kind of Asian heritage, but clearly was not 100% of any particular race. So it was an interesting transition to go through. So, yellowness was interesting to me at that point. And then, in addition, when I was starting to work on this poem, I was also reading a lot of Don Lee, who's an author who regularly grapples with Asian American identity within his fiction. I kept thinking a lot about childhood and all the pieces that came into place for this poem, ranging from, you know, growing up taking trips to see my Chinese grandparents, to interactions with a Chinese friend in college. And through all of that, and through the revising and redrafting stages, one of the interesting, unexpected pieces of this poem that I remain, you know, pretty faithful to myself as a speaker of the piece, and kind of it being an autobiographical work, but wound up inserting my father more than anyone as an audience for the poem, which is something I didn't originally intend to do, didn't expect to do, but it kind of just took shape around that. Particularly interesting for him not really being a reader of poetry, at least to my knowledge, and, you know, not someone who I would necessarily expect to ever actually read this poem. So one of the components of the original prompt that I worked from involved citing another book or written work. And as a nod to borrowing a lot of the structural elements and the focus on color from Maggie Nelson, I actually used Bluettes for that purpose, and it's referenced very explicitly in the poem Bucket. So as precedent has suggested, before when I discussed my poem, The Joke, poems are both short enough in terms of time it takes to read them and dense enough in terms of content that I think there's value in making it kind of a practice to actually read the poem in these podcasts where I'm discussing poems. So in this case, I am going to go ahead and read just the full manuscript of Bucket to kind of connect some of the dots, maybe bring up some other points from it here. Bucket. I had a yellow 1 gallon plastic bucket. Originally, it contained a set of blocks. For our annual car rides from upstate down to Queens to visit your parents, you brought along the bucket, lined with a plastic grocery bag in case I needed to puke from motion sickness. As a child, I collected action figures. First He-Man, then wrestlers, then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Grandma couldn't speak English. I couldn't speak Cantonese. She watched me play with these dolls in hopes of understanding a story, but my plot lines were a moving target. In Bluettes, Maggie Nelson writes so lovingly about the color blue, but when it comes to yellow, she describes baby shit yellow showers. And though a mother might love her baby, shit and all, this passage gave me pause. Could yellow be anyone's favorite color? My high school lab partner revealed why he wouldn't speak to me when we were younger. That he mistook my shyness, that he thought I couldn't understand English, and worried we couldn't communicate. I didn't want to offend you, he said. Freshman year of college, a Chinese friend professed her love for me. In retrospect, it was obvious that her insistence we write a play together had less to do with the creative endeavor than the desire to sit huddled close at her desk and to talk our way through hypothetical situations our two main characters, lovers, might fall into. We kissed on her insistence that we should just once, just to see how it felt, remembering when I'd made the same argument to a girl from high school, and failed, I relented. It was my first kiss, and it was awful. All that wetness and teeth on teeth and bad breath from pizza with garlic-soaked crust. I remember how rosy her cheeks looked afterward, and the taste of bile in my throat. I don't write with partners anymore. Too many conflicting ideas and hidden agendas, and I don't know how anyone ever winds up happy. Now and again, I ponder learning Cantonese, but my childhood recollections of the sounds are all sharp and loud. Grandpa yelling at his dogs. Your version, mostly inflection. A Chinese word or two, then a string of English to make up for the language you had lost by degrees. I've been called a banana. Yellow on the outside, white on the inside. I eat a banana most mornings with my breakfast, and remember these claims, these taunts, these simplifications. I used to bite around the bruises, or cut them out with a table knife, but now I eat straight through. I want you to know, if you ever read this, that I'm not embarrassed of my skin, my eyes, my hair, nor the way when I was little you would sometimes confuse your L's and R's on words like milk. Let me rephrase. You are a part of me. As our fried rice and bits of yellow scrambled egg and char-siu pork, barking dogs, and my bucket, the yellow house where the next-door neighbors lived, and the greenhouse where I grew taller and you grew older and we fought for years and later drank cheap beer over small Thanksgiving dinners against the blare of the evening news. God, your hearing is shot. This is where I am from. This is you and me. Okay, so that's Bucket, and that's a wrap on kind of my discussion of it. So let's move on ahead now to Mike's monthly endorsement. As an artist, I think it's important to be consuming other things, to see what interests and inspires you, and see what's already out there, and see what's come before you. So at the end of episodes, I'm recommending a book, story, movie, TV show, band, wrestling match, author, etc. That may have escaped a huge mainstream audience, or that may be a little dated now and at the cusp of being forgotten, but that I recommend. So this time I'm going to recommend a poet at large, Gary Young. He's been working with the prose poetry form that I first encountered in my hybrid forms class. It was kind of my gateway into this form, and so it seemed like an appropriate pairing to go with this particular prose poem. He's a very skilled poet, obviously, but I also really appreciate that he's very accessible. I know that for me, as I imagine is the case for a lot of listeners, poetry can be a challenge. It can be intimidating because there's just sort of so many moving pieces and so much left unsaid often, and so kind of figuring out how to encounter it, how to understand it, can, you know, be a daunting task in and of itself. So I appreciate that Gary Young is someone who I think you can understand on a relatively superficial level, and then reread and kind of access more of what's going on, because there's a lot kind of embedded in each word that he writes. He's an author who's written a lot about his family and tragedies endured, including his mother's suicide, as well as the birth of his son. And so it's a big part of you know, why I appreciate poetry, is kind of what he does with it, in terms of exploding a single moment or a single idea in an imagistic kind of way. I think he's really successful with that. I think that's part of what drew me back into both reading and writing poetry more after I'd spent a pretty significant amount of time away from it and really considered myself certainly a prose writer, if not fiction exclusively. Okay, well, I want to thank you all for listening, and I hope you will check back again. Special thanks, as always, go to Mike Peek for providing the theme music for this show. That's all for this time, and I'm wishing you all good health, happiness, and creativity, and I'll catch you next time.